did have a loose end from last week. I'm going to get to that today, Wednesday. Welcome, everyone, to the Revelation series. And I'm going to talk to you about the reality of Revelation, because there are some disturbing reports coming to me. And I'm going to talk about this. But first, when I talked about the animals last week, I kept saying that all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I never quite got down to that verse. I was reading Romans chapter 8. I was in verse 20. I was in verse 21. And I stopped short of verse 22. And verse 22 is the one that actually uses the word groaning. And so all creation is groaning. And you are groaning. I am groaning. We are all groaning. We ourselves are groaning for the adoption. We want the deliverance of what has been purchased. And we have a week coming up on that topic about our Lord purchasing the entire world, redeeming some of us early, but then eventually delivering all. These are great distinctions that are eradicated by the common versions, namely the King James Version. That's right, I said it. So, yeah, I stopped short reading last week, and I regret that I did. But on your own, read again Romans 8, 20, 21, and 22. If you're groaning, this is why. I want to give you reason for groaning. Some people say that you're just grouchy, or you're just upset. Why are you so agitated? Why are you so irritated? Well, there is something going on spiritually in all of us who have the earnest of the Spirit. And it is that we are getting a glimpse of the future. And we're seeing it in the book of the unveiling, and we're seeing it in our own evangel. The future for us is bright. And yet, when you look out the window, we're still stuck in the middle of the wickedest eon there has ever been, the current wicked eon. And so this produces something in us that sounds something like this. Oh, God. Or possibly with a breath behind it, such as this. That is groaning. And you do it because it says you're doing it. In Romans 8, 22, we ourselves are groaning for the redemption. I'll never forget a friend of mine I was with him at another friend's house, and there was this poor dog in a doghouse, and the dog admittedly had a very short leash. And I felt sorry for the dog, and my friend felt sorry for the dog. He said, "Oh, look at that dog." And I love dogs, and the dog was on a short leash. And I said, "Yeah, I do feel bad for the dog, but you know what? Feel sorry for yourself." "What do you mean, Martin? You're on a short leash. We are so limited. If we realized now how limited we were, couldn't stand it for another day." I've told you this before. I think I've used this analogy. When you come in cold and wet from the rain, and you take off those cold, wet clothes, you get in a nice hot shower, and it feels so good. And then you look out the shower at your clothes in a pile, and it's like, "Oh, how was I ever in those?" But when you were in them, you were used to it. And like, "Yeah, I could go for another 10 minutes in these wet clothes. You know, it's no big deal." But once you're in the shower and you look at them from the warmth of the shower, how did I stand it? So that's how it's going to be when we're delivered, finally. We're going to look back at this life and go, "My God, how did I stand it in that body?" But fortunately for us, we only have an earnest of the of our allotment of an inheritance, and we see it in part. And I think I feel sorry for Paul in a way, who was transferred to the third heaven, came back, had to come back. That would be terrible. It's like, "No, I'm not going back." I would defy the Almighty God. I wouldn't get very far. The reality of Revelation. Some people out there, I'm not going to name names, surprisingly, I know, it's unusual for me. Maybe I'll change my mind by the end of this broadcast, are saying that, of course, the book of Revelation is just too hard. It can't be understood. Everybody disagrees on the book of Revelation. And so, therefore, it's just for some hazy, foggy, dim time in the far future. The far, far future. The far, far, far future. It might be 5, 10, 15, 100, 200 years. You know, we don't know. And then, I don't like that, by the way. And then there's another group. I don't know if it's a group. It might only be one or two people, I pray. But that says that Revelation's not even inspired because it's so difficult. Because it's a puzzle. It's a riddle. And so it's not even inspired. It was put in spurious addition to the canon, to the Word of God. In the meantime, you and I are discovering it. You and I are studying it. You and I were not crying that it's so hard. Instead, we are understanding figures of speech. We are understanding visions. We are understanding symbolism. We are understanding God's methods. We see there's a system here. There's an actual structure to the book of Revelation. And on Friday, get ready for this. It's going to be an exciting day on Friday. 2 days from now, I am going to show you that the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ actually answers problems that were created in Genesis. Now, these books were written hundreds of years apart, and yet, by divine inspiration, not only is there a structure in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, but there is an answer. There is a component of this that is actually in, what do I want to say, not a parallelism, not a syllogism, some kind of ism, but I can't quite figure out what kind of ism it is. I'll come up with it tomorrow. I will do an ism research, and I will come up with that for you. There's a balance. There's a correspondence between Genesis and Revelation. How is that possible? These writers knew nothing of each other. And yet, we see a miraculous answer in the unveiling to questions and problems that arose in Genesis. This is from Dr. Bullinger and others. And I'm going to bring this to you on Friday to prove to you and those detractors out there that says, Revelation's just too hard. It doesn't belong in the Bible. That's what Luther said about James. That's what many people have said about James. James is just so contrary to grace, contrary to Paul. So he must not belong in the Bible. Well, these people didn't understand that there were two evangels. And so why is it that we don't understand? And so we're going to toss out the part of Scripture that we don't understand because it's too hard. Or we don't understand it, or it just doesn't fit with our current paradigm. Don't take away our paradigm. I'm going to take away your paradigm if you believe that Revelation does not belong, that the unveiling of Jesus Christ, inspired by God, does not belong in the canon. It does. Now, on to my unrelated topic. I am enjoying hearing from all of you. I love it when you write, and I'm having a hard time keeping up with emails because there's more and more coming. That's a good problem to have. Because the body of Christ, it always amazes me. I'm going to continue to bring this up to you. As a common mind, the mind of Christ operates in all of us, even though we're miles apart. And the common denominator that I hear in the body of Christ is that we're alone. My God, we feel forsaken, just like Elijah. Everybody has felt alone at certain times in their walk. I understand this. I felt the same way before. And Elijah said, they've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. I alone am left. God said, no, I've reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are no way there are 7,000 of you out there. I no way believe that there are that many people in the body of Christ alive today. We are a few, and we are scattered, and you're feeling alone. And for this reason, I thank God for the internet. Now, I thank God that the internet's going to be abolished in 1,000 years. Because in one way, it's a pain in the ass. But in another way, now it's vital. It's connecting us. But Paul was so long to see people in the flesh. And I every 7 years or so, I get this desire to visit, to see the saints, to share a grace, to console each other. I want you to watch a video. Go to studyshelf.com and go to the individual speakers. Go to James Flanders. James Flanders gave an amazing talk in New York, I think it was 2013. I was there. And he talks about loving one another and helping one another, consoling one another. This is such an important message and we don't hear enough of it. To bear one another's burdens. And we in the body of Christ, who else is going to do it, really? We should be doing it for each other because we have this common thread. We're deeper, closer than blood relations. We're a family of God. We're going to be together for eternity. So we might as well start helping each other out. Listen to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 17. Now we, brethren, being bereaved of you for the period of an hour in face, not in heart, endeavor the more exceedingly to see your face. Now for this guy, it was so hard to travel. He was in perils constantly, in perils of his brethren, in perils on the sea and the road from robbers. And so it was very difficult to travel. And yet he went out of his way because it's so important to see in the face. This is what he mentions here. He says, we're not missing in heart, but we're missing in face. And we endeavor the more exceedingly to see your face. And I love seeing the faces of the saints. I love it. You know, because I'm staring at a blank wall here when I do this show. And so the more of you who write me and even send me pictures, I love that. I want to see you. And it's important. And here's Paul himself saying it in face. We endeavor to see your face with much yearning because we want to come to you. We want to come towards you. That's the literal here. I indeed, Paul, once even twice wanted to come, but Satan hinders us. For who is our expectation, our joy, our wreath of glory? Who do we have? We got nobody else. I think of the apostles. Jesus said to the apostles, okay, I say some hard things and everybody leaves. Are you going to leave too? And they said, where are we supposed to go? Who else has the words of life? Who else has the words of truth? That's why you're here. Because there's so few sources of words of life and words of truth, consistent life, consistent truth. And where else are we going to go? Where are we going to find fellowship with these crazy thoughts that we have about God? We're coming into the new creation. We're understanding the gospel of God's grace. We don't believe in free will. We don't believe in eternal torment. We believe in the sovereignty of God, and we believe in the salvation of all. And we're looking into the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, and we're finding answers in it. We're finding comfort in it. While others are complaining that it just can't be understood, we're finding answers. And 2 years from now, when we finish this series, we will have an intelligent grasp of this book while other people are still complaining that it can't be understood. Forget them. Let's bond. And Paul longs for this. And I'm of that season now. I'm really feeling this pull to go to visit you. We are feeling this pull to visit you. For you are our expectation, our joy, our wreath, our glorying. Even you in front of our Lord Jesus in his presence. You are our glory, our joy. Paul says, you know, I couldn't. Paul says in chapter 3 now, I'm going to close with this. I have to be in Athens for whatever reason. I have business here, but we're going to send Timothy, our brother and God's servant, in the evangel of Christ to establish and console you for the sake of your faith. I'm concerned for your faith always. I'm concerned for my own faith. I'm concerned for your faith. And it takes establishment. It takes being rooted and grounded, and it takes being reminded of these things, and it takes being consoled. Go to studyshelf.com, watch James Flanders. He talks about, as a teacher even, he has moments, we all do, where he needs consoled. He's ready to quit, ready to throw in the chips. And he talks about despairing of life, and our apostle talks about despairing of life also. In other words, we wanted to die because this world is so hard. And sometimes all it takes is an encouraging word. And you have saved me many times with that word. You've saved me. And I've done the same for you. And we do the same thing for each other. I always liked, the Beatles always mentioned it was so great there were four of them. Because when one was down, the other could lift them up. Elvis didn't have that because Elvis was a Lone Ranger. So he had nobody. When he was down, that was it. Lights out. So we are the body of Christ, and we have each other. There's more on this. I'm running out of time. Maybe I'll start tomorrow by finishing up with this second, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, because I want you to be encouraged. And when I encourage you, I encourage myself. And then we're going to talk about the scroll, the seven-seal scroll. We're still in this epic time period that John's seeing in the unveiling. I'm going to tell you what it isn't. It doesn't tell the future. So many things to do this week. And then, of course, how Revelation answers Genesis on Friday. It's a packed week. Don't know how I'm going to get it all in. But you know me. I'm going to figure out a way to do it.